bring your tired and bring your shame, bring your guilt and bring your pain. Don't you know that's not your name? You will always be much more to me than this. I love that song. This whole message came Monday morning just walking down the steps and singing that song, Greater. And I thought about those verses in John 14, and that's where we'll be today. John 14, 12 through 31. It's called Greater. Every word today that we read in the scripture is something that Jesus said, that John put it on paper, that the Holy Spirit led him to put it on paper. We don't really use any other book here to teach but the Bible, because the Bible's God's Word. He implanted it in the hearts of the writers of the Bible. And Peter says it, do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in the darkness. So today we're going to start at John 14, 12, but I'm going to lift up his name first. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to come together today as a family, to take communion together today, to worship together, to lift our needs up to you, Father. Father, it might be people sitting here right now going through many trials and tribulations, and Paul told us to give you glory even in those times. Because when we do that, we'll gain perseverance. And with perseverance comes proven character. And with proven character comes hope. And hope does not disappoint it, because hope has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And isn't it wild that we get to talk about the Holy Spirit today? Isn't it great that we get to dig into your word and look at the scriptures and allow them to penetrate our hearts and our minds and our consciences, so that we can go outside this wall and make a difference for you, Father? Because we're going to stand before you one day and give an account for the things done in our body, whether they'll be good or bad, Father. And you are pruning us, you are preparing us, you are allowing us to go through trials so that we'll trust in you and come closer to you and realize that we can't do any of this stuff without you, Father. So I give you the glory in Jesus' name, amen. In John 14, 12, it says, truly, truly. Isn't that a great way to start out? I'm talking about the truth here. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. This is Jesus talking to us now. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. So you look at that verse, and there's so much in there, because I think like the promise of greater works is the fact that Jesus is still working on earth here, still working in our hearts and in our lives, and he's going to continue to be a prophet in this generation, a priest in this generation, and a king. And you're listening, God, I put his purposes will be amplified by his multiplying believers and expanding the church. That's what we want to do here. Expand. Get his word out. Have great times. You know, jump inside a moon, bounce for a couple hours. My voice is killing me from yesterday. But praise God. But as the head of the church and the reigning king, that's who we're here to worship, Jesus, he continues his work in the world through his people. That's us. And dwelled by the Spirit. You have to understand that the Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside of you. And you're listening, God, I put our work for Jesus is really our work with Jesus. We're his children. We're his kids. We're his ambassadors. We're supposed to be used by him to make a difference in this world, because he is the one who's making all things new. He does it in us. He does it through us. He makes us a kingdom priest to his God and Father. Write down Revelations 1:6 and read it later before you eat dinner tonight. Praise God. This means that we would and we will and we should become witnesses to the entire world through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the rest of our lives is out for us, in that we would make a difference in the entire world and bring many to salvation. Why? Because of the Comforter, capital C, living inside of us. Jimmy, if you go back to that John 14, 12, it says, because I go to my Father. So the only way that as we, as Jesus' disciples, will be able to do greater works is through the power and dwelling and infilling of the Holy Spirit. The Scripture teaches that the Holy Spirit could not be sent as the Comforter until Jesus returned to His Father. That's why I said in that verse, because I go to the Father. Now the next two verses, John 14, 13 and 14. Whatever you ask in My name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in My name, I will do it. And that's Jesus talking to us, even in this generation, even today. Jesus was comforting them, and He's comforting us. That means that He would provide us the necessary resources that we need to accomplish His task in our life. And it had to be hard for them, because He's saying, hey, I'm going to go and be with the Father. They were worried. But I really think to ask in Jesus' name does not mean to really tack on such an expression at the end of a prayer as a mere formula. It means our prayer should be for His purposes, for His kingdom, not for selfish reasons. Our prayer should be on the basis of His merit and not any personal merit or worthiness. And our prayer should be in the pursuit of His glory alone. That's what our prayer should be. We want to see His glory be done in our marriages. Glory be done in raising our children. Glory be done in our neighborhoods as we witness to everybody. Now, the rest of John chapter 14 is what we're going to look at today. Jesus really promises us. He really gives us comfort in these verses. And I found five supernatural blessings, because greater is He who is living in me than he who is living in the world. And I'm going to tell you something here. The world doesn't have these blessings. Only those who call upon the name of the Lord, only those who have asked Him to forgive them of their sins and receive Him in their heart, we get those blessings. Okay, the first one is a supernatural helper. Verses 15 through 17 says this: if you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is Jesus talking. Then the subtitle in the New American Standard Bible is The Role of the Spirit, verses 16 and 17. I will ask the Father, He will give you another helper, capital H, that He may be with you forever. That's a promise from God's Word. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him now nor know Him, but you know Him. You know Him. Because He abides in you and will be with you. That's a promise from God's Word. That we have this supernatural God living inside of us, the Holy Spirit. He abides with you and will be with you. Now, if you look at verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Our love for Jesus is really inseparable for our obedience to Him. When you see Christians going through turmoils and problems, a lot of times are with relationships, a lot of times because people have decided not to be obedient to Christ. They've decided not to live for Christ. And therefore, they just get in trouble and they get away from Him. Jesus said in Luke 6, 46 and 47, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my word acts on them, and I will show you whom he is like. So when you become a believer and you start living your life, you're being obedient to what his word tells us to do. So don't call on the name of the Lord, but yet do this and that, or do some kind of sin or some kind of unfaithfulness thing. Now, he uses the word another in verse 16. And that Greek word, when you look up the word another, it means specifically means another of the same kind. Someone like Jesus himself who would take his place and do his work. And you're listening, God, I put the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, having the same essence of deity as Jesus and as perfectly one with him as he is with the Father. When he used the word helper in there, the Greek term means one called alongside to help. Has the idea of someone who would really encourage you or exhort you. Now in verse 17, he uses the word abiding. Has to do with permanent resident in us. And the two verses I thought of having to do abiding. And this is for every one of us who calls ourselves believers. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know? This is one of the greatest questions ever in the Bible. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, with whom you have from God, and you are not on your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God with your body. Isn't that beautiful? You know, you might be a teenager in here, sitting in here. You might have a girlfriend sitting in here with you. Everybody's kind of looking back. And I'm thinking to myself, man, you've been bought with a price. Glorify God with your body. Everything you do, if you're a believer and you're a teenager and you're going through high school, how you treat your girlfriend and how you're with your girlfriend or with your boyfriend, if you're a girl, you're representing Christ. You're representing Christ in your relationship. Therefore, you want to be obedient to the things of God. And I hear parents saying amen to that, because you want people to know that you're a believer of Christ, that you're His children, that you're going to act like that. Now, in verse 17, He calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth. Isn't that beautiful? He is a Spirit of Truth, that He is the source of truth and communicates the truth to His own. Apart from Him, men cannot know God's truth. He, the Holy Spirit, dwells with you and will be with you. How many people saw on the news all these people marching yesterday? All over the United States marching. And what are they looking for? They're looking for purpose. They're listening to lies and they're living out lies in their own lives. And all they need is God. All they need is purpose in their lives. And He sings, because I hear a voice and He calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough, and greater is He who is living inside of me than who you is living in the world. When you're seeing those people marching, that represents the world. That mention represents the world. They're marching to lies. They're marching to things that are not true. So one, you have a supernatural helper. The next few couple verses, 18 and 19, you have a supernatural life, Jesus says. He said, I'll not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you see me. Because I live, you will live also. So in verse 18, He uses the word orphans, and that's like a veiled reference to His death and His promise not to leave us. In verses 18 and 19, He said, I will come to you, you will see me. So when I read that, I think He's referring to His resurrection, and after that, they would see Him. And when I study the scriptures, when Jesus came back and was saw, you know, by Peter, James, and John, the disciples, 120, 500 people, whatever, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, there is no record of any unbelievers saw Him after He rose from the dead. You can't find it in the Bible. In another sense, this is really a mystery of the Trinity to us. He said in verse 19, you will live also. Because of His resurrection and because of His indwelling Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, we as believers, as children of God, we possess eternal life. Do you understand that the Holy Spirit is living inside of you? He's making your home inside of you. So we have this supernatural helper and we have this supernatural life. And number three, we have this supernatural union. Here He goes on for six verses. Here's Jesus. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Isn't that wild? Disclose. Think about, what does that mean? To make known or to reveal or to uncover, to disclose a secret. Jesus said, I will love him. I will disclose myself to him. Then it says in verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not the world? Great question. And Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he keeps my word, and my Father will love him. He will come to him and make our abode with him. There's another proof from God's word that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and my word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. So once again, in these verses, Jesus, he's just emphasizing us to be obedient for him. You know, listen to him. Do what he wants us to do. True saving faith is manifested by works produced by God and transforming, regenerating power of the Spirit. These are the works of the expressions of the love that the Spirit pours in our heart. Paul wrote this to the Romans, and hope does not disappoint us because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts. Once again, how? Through the Holy Spirit, whom is given us. So to recap the first three blessings, greater is one who's living inside of me. We have a supernatural helper. We have a supernatural life. We have a supernatural union. Number four, we have a supernatural teacher. He's the one that's going to teach us. John 14, 26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Do you understand that? When you get the Word of God and you put it in your heart and you meditate on it and you memorize it, the Holy Spirit brings those things to your mind. And that's what gives you comfort in this life. That's what gives you peace in this life, to understand he's the one who we're living for. He's the one who we might march for. The Holy Spirit energize the hearts and the minds of the apostles in their ministry, helping them to produce the scriptures for us. The disciples, when you read through, had failed many times to understand what Jesus wanted them to know or what he taught. But because of this supernatural work, they came to the inherent and accurate understanding of the Lord and his work. And they recorded it in the Gospels and the New Testament Scripture. And now the Holy Spirit teaches us these Scriptures, makes them come alive in our hearts and our minds and our souls. So when the teenagers gather in the back there, they're going to fellowship with one another and fellowship around this and get the Word of God. When the adults get together in their community groups, we're looking at questions from the Scriptures and answering them and allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us those things. He's our teacher. He's the one who's going to make things known to us. And then that last supernatural blessing I want to talk about is supernatural peace. Even though you see turmoil going around the country, we have peace today. We came in here in peace. We can worship in peace. There's a lot of people in other countries that don't have the freedom that we have. You know what I mean? And the Bible says where much is given, much is required. We're required to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we've been given this gift of living in this freedom, even though people don't understand it. You see those people marching and going after things, and they don't even know what they're marching for. And it's very sad to hear that and see that. But it says the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that at least the light of the gospel of glory of Christ would shine upon him. And that's our prayer as ambassadors. If we would go out and share the light that's been given us and make a difference for him. Here's Jesus talking about peace in verses 27 through 31. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. That's a word for us in this generation. Do not let your heart be troubled or be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I'll go away and I will come back to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I go for the Father, because the Father is greater than I. Now that I have told you this before it happens, Jesus said, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up, Jesus said, and let us go for him. So you think about it, when he says, peace I leave you in verse 27, really the Hebrew word for that is shalom. You've probably heard that before, which is like a greeting to his disciples after his resurrection. He's greeting them. And at the individual level of this peace I put in your listening, God, unknown to the unsaved. They don't understand peace. They don't understand that. Secures serenity in difficult times, dissolves fear, rules in the hearts of people to maintain harmony. And I thought to myself, well, how do we live this peace out in our families or in our jobs or in our neighborhoods? And I saw three verses in Colossians I'm going to share with you before I close. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Isn't that powerful? Let that peace rule in your hearts. Don't let other people dictate to you some kind of philosophy or some kind of thing that's going to take you away from Christ. Allow the peace of Christ to rule in your heart, to which you were called, to one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. What a way to live, with all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So greater than I. When Jesus said that, He was not admitting inferiority to the Father, but he was going back to share equal glory with the Father. You have to understand that's very important. When he says the ruler of this world, and I thought about Judas Iscariot, he was just a tool for the prince who rules the system of darkness. His name is Satan. And Jesus said in those verses, he has nothing to do with me. Satan has nothing to do with me. This means that Satan has nothing on Jesus. He could make no claim on him, nor charge him with any sin. Therefore, Satan could not hold him in death. Christ would triumph and destroy Satan. And you're listening, God, I put his death was no sign that Satan won, but that God's will was being done, that the band could come forward here. So to recap, let's read the five things together. Let's list them together. One is a supernatural what? Supernatural helper. Two, a supernatural life. Three, a supernatural union. Four, a supernatural teacher. And five, a supernatural peace. Beautiful. Elizabeth, I can really hear you. That's powerful, man. Praise God. I want to read a verse while this came to me during the week while the ushers come forward. And write this down, Matthew 10:28. Let's see here, 10:28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Do not fear all the things that are going on. Seriously, do not fear about that. But it says in the end of verse 28, rather fear him who can destroy both the soul and body in hell. I don't think I ever ended a message with the word hell, but praise God. Father, we give you the glory for today, Lord. As we spend the rest of this time just giving our offering to you, Father, that's our offering we learned in core today. The offering is a sign of our worship for you. When we give, we're giving out of our worship for you. So, Father, I thank you for all you're doing, Father. Thank you for lining us up to be able to get this roof done in the back building. It's a lot of money, Lord, but we need it done, Father. And I'm just supposed to come before our church family and say, hey, if there's anybody who can help us in the cost of this roof, we really appreciate it, Father. And Father, we ask you that you bless each one of us here today, Lord. God, let that peace of God dwell in our hearts, Father. Even though we see such turmoil, such lies and philosophies being taught to the people in the world, but we're not going to let that stuff affect us. We're going to live for you. We're going to love you. We're going to be obedient to you. We're going to take the things because your Holy Spirit lives inside of us. We learned today, Lord, that we're going to allow him to speak through us. We're going to allow him to work through us. And we're going to come alongside and partner with him and make a difference in this generation for you. So, Father, as we're collecting the offering and as we're worshiping you, we want to open up these altars because there might be somebody here in turmoil. There might be somebody here lacking peace in their lives, Father. And we would want nothing else because your word says to come to the throne of grace in a time of need. And I will give you comfort, Father. And there's the Spirit of God reigning in this place right now, moving in this place right now, filling this temple with your love and mercy and forgiveness, Father. Thank you for yesterday, Father. Thank you for the time that we could fellowship with one another and people from the community just coming and having fun and fellowshipping with one another. And now we're here like we do on Sunday morning to give you glory and give you praise and thank you for all the things you're teaching us, all the things that the Holy Spirit of God is pouring into us and getting us ready to be a testimony to the world. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Father. So as we go out and we move the way you want us to move, and we're thankful and what for that mercy and that grace and that forgiveness, Lord, let us not have Satan allow to plant any lies inside of us, Father. But we just allow you to give us life and more abundantly. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.